Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to ACC Nation. Coming up, the squeeze is on in college football playoff rankings. A quick look at those rankings and the major what-ifs, the Coastal Division race in ACC football. Speaking of, one of the more important games is the Virginia-Virginia Tech matchup in the Commonwealth Cup at the end of the month. Thanksgiving week, we'll have special guest Andy Bitter from The Athletic talking about the Hokies, and Jerry Radcliffe of JerryRadcliffe.com to discuss the Cavaliers ahead of the game. And as a bonus Thanksgiving week program, we'll be joined by Aaron Fett of D1Baseball.com, and we'll get a preview of ACC baseball. We're stacked up in sports news. Who's headed to the NCAA cross-country championships? Among automatic qualifiers, four men's and two women's teams, and two at-large teams for both men's and women's competition. Three individual women's qualifiers also have been named. Check the story out at accnation.net. Eight of nine ACC teams advance into the second round of the NCAA Women's Soccer Championship. We'll update you on the schedule via Twitter at ACC Nation. The NCAA Field Hockey Champion semifinals are set with three of the four teams from the ACC, including North Carolina, Boston College, and Virginia. We'll share the schedule also on Twitter at ACC Nation. The NCAA Men's Soccer Selection Show will reveal the 48-team field this week. The championship is set for December 13th and 15th. And Pitt won the ACC Volleyball Championship. The Panthers are number three in the NCAA Power 10 rankings. We'll find out if that changes this week. There are 2 weeks of regular play left. Let's start talking about basketball first in ACC men's basketball. Last week's rankings, number two, Duke, number four, Louisville, number six, North Carolina, number nine, Virginia, number 27, Florida State. Without any doubt, considering some of the games that have occurred in the top 10 over the last week or so, there's going to be a change there. We're going to assume that Duke will be number one, and we should find that out at the beginning of the week.
Well, yeah, it's got to be Duke. They're 4-0 in the season. They were ranked number two as of last week, and with the shocking loss by Kentucky at home to Evansville, that should put Duke right at number one. Where Kentucky drops after that is hard to say. They could drop, I think, even as far as, say, four, maybe five. Yeah, I would say for sure Duke will rise to number one, and rightly so.
A lot of excuses that I saw out of people regarding that loss by Kentucky. And granted, I will give this some level of credence in that it is the beginning of the season, and non-con games tend to be like this. When you're starting your season up, things get sloppy until you find your groove. But considering that they lost to Evansville, and I'm not downplaying Evansville. I think Evansville played their hearts out.
Evansville's coached by a former Kentucky Gray, Walter McCarty. But hey, you know what, though? A couple days later, Louisville actually took care of business against a school from Indiana coming into the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So good on them.
Let me just say that I caught a little bit of the action of a couple of teams in the last couple of days. I watched a majority of the Virginia game, and for a good reason, because I hadn't caught anything from Virginia really in depth until that game, and I just decided, well, I'm going to watch it. And I got football going on too.
Right.
And all these screens going. But I really put my focus on watching Virginia. They're dangerous.
And defensively, absolutely.
I think that offense is going to crank out some big points this season, and they look a little fuzzy around the edges in some places. You know, the early part of the season, I can see that happening, but I think this is a team that is a top five team. And quite frankly, I hate to say this to some degree because I really love the guys that were on that team last year. But honestly, I think this team has more potential than last year's championship team. Call me crazy.
Yeah, I am going to call you crazy.
Mm-hmm. I thought you would.
I've watched all three of these games. What I'm still concerned about outside shooting. They're among the worst three-point shooting teams in the country. I'm still not thrilled with seeing Kia Clark taking a bunch of shots. I don't want him being one of the top offensive options on this team. Well, we're seeing a lot of production from Jay Huff. We're seeing Mamadi Diakite produce a lot. And that's about it. I mean, your Braxton Key's doing all right. But, well, like I said, Wolde Tinsay hasn't done much. I know he missed a game. His shot hasn't fallen. Morcell's shot hasn't fallen yet. Once, if they can start hitting threes, then yes, I will agree with you. But until then, I'm gonna stay off the juice.
Tell me something. What are your thoughts about Statman? Because I had a question after watching that game, and that question was really basically this: why is he out on the court?
I'm actually impressed with what he's done. He didn't shoot very well in the game against Columbia, but. You know, I think his value has been more on the defensive side. He's had a couple of steals. He actually had three block shots against Columbia. So it's really more on the defensive end. I think mm-hmm. I think eventually if Morcell's shot starts falling, I think he will ultimately replace Statman in the lineup.
I would agree with that. And I see I was watching Morcell very closely. He's got that freshman. The kinks have got to be worked out, right? And
right.
You move from one speed and one type of play to something that is like hypersonic, and it takes a little while to get used to it and to sort of settle into it. I think he hasn't gotten over that yet. If that kid plays eventually like he did in high school, boy, lights out.
I think one thing to take into effect still is – or is taken to account here, is that the change in three-point line, too. Mm-hmm. It's not just Virginia. A lot of teams throughout college basketball are struggling to shoot the three right now.
Yeah, and it was implemented on purpose for that, you know, for basically that reason, among others.
Create more spacing, but at the same time, make the three-point shot a little more difficult. And it's kind of been to Virginia's benefit on the defensive end, not so much the offensive end.
I don't think it's killed the game. I think it makes it more fun to watch in some regards. I kind of get back to that probably by January again. I want to see what the progress is, how everybody adjusts.
I tell you this much, is they have a game coming up Tuesday night against Vermont, mm-hmm. and nobody should be taking that game lightly. Vermont is a very good veteran team, the consistent 20-plus win team out of the America East. If you look at the KenPom rankings, they're easily in the top 100. I think they can give Virginia a game on Tuesday night.
Well, and they should. You know, those are the types of games that you kind of want. You want to get through them. You want to get over them. You want to get past them.
I'd like to see a tough win for Virginia, like a single digit win.
A good challenge game.
It will be.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. What I'm seeing out of Duke, Louisville, North Carolina, Virginia, and Florida State, for that matter, really good basketball. Team struggling, though. Wow. Boston College and Pitt. Yowza.
Oof, that Boston College on Saturday give up 100 points to Belmont.
Yeah.
And if Rick Byrd was still the coach, I'd understand it, but he's retired now, but Belmont hit 15 threes in that game against Boston College. They're just ridiculous rates. That explains a lot of it. And I mean, Belmont's still a traditional, really good mid-major type school. You know, they're 2-1 on the year, but this is a team that will be a challenger for an NCAA tournament bid in a few months.
Pleasant surprise in the ACC, Wake Forest, not doing too bad. Really hasn't played what I would call hugely challenging games so far. But nonetheless, they're not falling flat on their face.
Well, as you say that, they just lost in overtime to Charlotte.
Fails. Never fails.
67-65.
There you go.
And I'm literally watching the final seconds as we are recording here. And there was a play where a guy took a three with about 7 seconds left, missed. Mm-hmm. Charlotte got the rebound, and the guy for Wake didn't even bother trying to foul the guy. Ended up missing the contesting layup. And they literally had no chance for a heave from three-quarter court. Charlotte got their first win of the year again and gets Wake Forest. So, and we gotta say Charlotte's an up-and-coming team. You know, their head coach Ron Sanchez, a longtime assistant under Tony Bennett at Washington State and at Virginia. So this is a team that's going to be really good, and it looks really nice right now.
Let's slide on over to the women's side of things. The rankings last week, number 9, Louisville, number 12, FSU, number 14, NC State, number 15, Notre Dame, number 17, Miami, number 20, that was Syracuse. There we go. I duplicated myself. I had Miami at 17 and 20.
The starters were ranked 17th and the backups were ranked 20th.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
That's a
good excuse. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, we talked about this last week. I purposefully watched a Notre Dame game. Wanted to see how Sam Brunell was doing because she's went to a high school about an hour or so away from where I live. You know, we talked about how the Irish are really struggling, and boy, this has been a rough season so far. Mm-hmm. You see the potential. You mm-hmm. see it, you see, but you also see the frustration on Coach McGraw's face, and she's not hiding it either. A lot of shaking her head as some of the stuff is going on in there. But, you know, she's dealing with a couple of freshmen out there, too, mm-hmm. who are doing some really silly things.
And you had mentioned Sam Brunell. You know, they lost by three at home to Michigan State the other night, Thursday night, but she had one of the better games among anybody on the court. She had 19 points and 8 rebounds. Mm-hmm. You know, she hasn't shot very well so far from the field this year, but she's doing really well in terms of just getting inside shots. Not a great 3-point shooter yet, but again, a solid rebounder. Averaging 6 rebounds per game so far, 4 games in. And you mentioned it, you know, Kaylin Gilbert at 19 and the loss to Michigan State. But as you said, this is a kind of step in step with Virginia men's team, that these two are going through a bit of a rebuild. And this year they may take a step back, but look towards next year as the year where both of these teams can really take a step forward.
At this rate, and I think I mentioned this last week, I talked about I thought maybe by mid-year, or the latter part of the year, that Notre Dame will click. After watching a little bit, it struck me that it might take a little bit more than just the middle of the year before this starts coming together, if it does this year. And you're right, I think next year, definitely. My gosh. Talent? Yeah. And they're fun to watch, too. You can see things starting slowly to come together there. They'll be back up in the top 10 maybe later in the year. Not this year, but later in the season is a better way of putting that.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you what, definitely. Though, a result that I think could be one of those where you might see a team, you got to be a team that, you know, they look good in a loss was Virginia. They hosted number 13 Kentucky.
Yes.
And it was, they only lost by 3, but again, you know, the Hoos were pretty strong defensively, but just couldn't hit their shots. And, a very turnover-prone game. Both teams committed over 20 turnovers, but Virginia was really good on defense, just couldn't hit shots, unfortunately. But 3 of 13 from 3, shot 31% from the field. That's not going to do it, but again, strong defensive effort from the Lady Hoos.
Great coaching hire. And
yep, almost, Tina Thompson's doing a good job. It's just going to take a little bit of time there.
And I'm surprised it's come along as far as it has, as quickly as it has. She's doing a great job. Her team is beginning to gel. Again, this could be a team that you would consider under the radar, because I think they're going to be sneaking up on people this season. Kind of like Virginia Tech was a couple of years ago. They had enough but not quite the totality to make it happen. But man, they were always dogging people. That was also a fun team to watch too. I think Virginia is going to be in that category this season. We'll see how that all works out. Let's slip into the football realm now. New to the top 25 this week is Virginia Tech, and the AP top 25 comes in at 25. Surprised a little bit to me in some regards, but then again, not. I look at this from the perspective of somebody who votes for AP top 25, USA Today, coaches poll, and also for college football playoff top 25. And I start looking at all the dynamics that are involved. And it makes sense to go ahead and put Tech at that spot. Now, when we look at the AP top 25, in the receiving votes category at number 28 is Virginia. If we go over to the USA Today coaches poll, it's only Clemson in there, along with Notre Dame. And then when you get into receiving votes, at number 26 is Virginia Tech, number 30, Virginia, number 33, Pitt, number 35, Wake Forest. That, to me, makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
In fact, that just in its totality says to me that, yes, that is where they all ought to be. And we'll see what happens this weekend between Virginia Tech and Pitt. I'm not too worried about Virginia and Liberty, though Liberty could sneak up on Virginia. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
Liberty's passing game is actually pretty decent with Virginia's attrition in the secondary. That could be a little bit closer game than people might think.
Right. And this is one of the reasons why I'm beginning to, and I think at the beginning of the year, I actually said I thought Virginia was going to win the Commonwealth Cup. Just based on the way they were at that moment in time. Well, things change, right? I am totally not believing my earlier prediction at this point. And as much as I hate to disappoint you, Will, and Virginia fans in general, I think the Hokies are going to win it again. I just have seen too much in the last couple of weeks that tells me this team is on a tear. And as you just pointed out, that secondary of the Cavaliers has been so horribly dinged up that, man, they're sucking wind back there. And somebody who's got a good passing game at all is really going to hurt them. And, gosh, I hope they don't lose to Liberty. I really do. But as you point out, there's that potential there of getting dinged up more by a team that can pass effectively. What I want to see is Virginia and Virginia Tech coming together in Charlottesville, and in both of them being in a position to put on a really good performance and have a good game. My gut's telling me that's not going to be the end result, though. I hate to say it. That's observations. And people are throwing darts at me right at the moment, including you, but I've seen enough.
I have that thing that try to yank you off stage.
I'm yanked off the stage. Yep. Okay. Well, let's get past that, because that's for a couple of weeks from now, and we'll definitely get into that closer as time comes on. Football top 25 upsets. Iowa State number 23 over number 19, Texas 21. Boy, that really dinged up Texas in a bad way. I'm using dang a lot here tonight, folks, and I apologize. I'll quit using dang, even though I just used it again. West Virginia, number 24, K-State, 20. Well, what did I say last week about K-State? And you came to their defense, but, you know, righteously so. I'll say that. Number 20, Iowa, over number 8, Minnesota, 23-19. Hated to see that outcome. I really did. I was really hoping that Minnesota was going to pull that off and make us all feel so justified in having faith in them. But it's college football, dude.
It's also the history of Minnesota sports that either that you can't have nice things. If you know, I have repetitively talked about this either here on the podcast or on Twitter, that you cannot, that Minnesota sports is cursed. And after that huge win last week against Penn State, you also, you can look at it being a letdown spot for sure against Iowa and an arrival. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I watched a decent amount of this game, and what I saw was a team that just wasn't clutch. They couldn't make stops on third down. They struggled offensively throughout the first half and into the third quarter. Ended up making it close late, but again, they just weren't clutch when they needed to be.
Yeah, they didn't look smooth at all. It's almost like, I don't know, the mojo they had the week prior was not there. It was, wow. I don't know. And stuff happens, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it is what it is, and not much you can change about it right now. But there's, I mean, they still have a shot at 10 wins. I mean, they play, I think their next game is against Northwestern, so they should win that no problem. And then they close with Wisconsin. So that they're, we're looking at a 10-win season for the Gophers with, you know, all that's going on. Yeah, that's, and you know, they could still go 11-1 and head into the Big Ten championship game against a 12-0 Ohio State. That's far and away a successful season for the Gophers.
It would be a nice big monkey wrench if they pulled off that win, too, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's get into the ACC, where monkey wrenches are the standard. Pitt over UNC, 34-27. Very good game. Close. It was not what I expected, but it was what I expected.
I'd say it was about what I expected from the standpoint that you expected Carolina to be in a one-score game. Again, overtime game. I actually ended up rewatching this game this morning to kind of get a feel for what happened. And again, a solid effort from Sam Howell and a losing effort. You know, his receivers, Daz Newsome and Bo Corrales, look really good. Newsome was very clutch late in the fourth quarter, getting some impressive catches downfield that helped set up the tying field goal to send it to overtime. Howell just couldn't connect in overtime after Pitt got a touchdown. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, one of the best games of the season, threw for 359 yards. They were without Maurice Prince in this game. So Shockey Jacques-Louis, who is now one of my favorite players in the league on that name, 100 yards receiving on four catches and a touchdown. Taysier Mack had six catches, 83 yards. Pitt, you know, they still have a shot, I believe, at the Coastal.
Yep, they do.
I think they have to beat Virginia Tech, and we'll get into the Hokies in a little bit. That's certainly no easy task.
Not at all. Our next game, Florida State over Alabama State, 49-12. Basically, anytime you play a team like Alabama State, you better watch yourself. I have seen more of these type of games than I can shake a stick at. I can always say I'm just highly impressed with what comes out of those teams and their effort. And they weren't going to lay down, and they did not against Florida State. Florida State, the more talented of the two teams, so they came out with a win, but still it showed some chinks in the armor of the Seminoles.
Yeah, one of the things you look at if on the negative side in this game, if you're Florida State, is that Alabama State threw for 270 yards in this game, and I admittedly don't know a whole lot about Alabama State other than they're a 500 FCS team. But again, you know, they did pretty well. I mean, Florida State picked them off twice, but still 270 yards passing is something you don't expect against Florida State, especially if you're an FCS school. But on the positive side, if you're Florida State, you padded a lot of stats in this game. Between James Blackman and Jordan Travis, they combined to have almost 20 yards per completion in this game. I had over 500 yards of offense, threw for over 300, ran for over 200. A lot of long plays in this game. A little bit of questionable on the defensive side just because they did allow 270 yards through the air. But what's most important for Florida State fans is they are bowl eligible this year, which you cannot say happened last year. And Odell Higgins now 4-0 as head coach at Florida State on two interim occasions. So obviously these kids love to play for him. Odell, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a difference in attitude. You know, what strikes me about him, and I made this comment to my better half while we were watching a little bit of that game. I said, you know, this is an old school dude right here. That's why I like him. I said, he's going to tell you straight up. You know, he's going to give you some tough love. But he's not going to sugarcoat anything. He's going to demand a lot out of his players. And they were talking, the guys who were doing play-by-play in color were talking about the fact that he had discussed this problem with all of these penalties. And what he was doing is, in practice, he was making players that committed penalties do the old run routine. You screw up, guess what? Hit it. Give me some laps. And, you know, after a while, that stuff starts to settle in because you get tired of, you know, being pointed to in front of all of your fellow players and then having to run, you know, multiple laps around the football field. Gets in great shape that way, but I can tell you one thing. You get tired of it very quickly, and you start listening and thinking and doing what you're supposed to do. I love that. I don't know what type of an administrator that he would be or is or capable of being, but from the standpoint of coaching, I would love to have a guy like that leading my team. That we need more of. Sort of these hard-edged guys to really, and it sounds so cliche, whip people into shape. This next game, Clemson over Wake Forest. Yes and no again on the surprise bit. I keep saying Wake Forest has got a problem with defense. Well, obviously, 52-3, you do.
Well, I mean, in fairness, there aren't many teams that have been able to stop Clemson at all this year. Clemson in this game went for 516 total yards, 348 through the air, 168 on the ground. Meanwhile, Wake Forest, 5 first downs and 105 total yards. It's just a brutal, brutal effort. And, you know, this is a team, you look at what they've been able to do throughout the season leading into this game. They're consistently getting 500 yards of offense. But then you look at the last 2 weeks, they played, you know, what are now ranked teams. They've combined for 406 total yards. And that would still be, and even if you combine those two games, it would be their lowest effort of the season. It just, this last couple of weeks have been tough. I know they've had a little bit of injury issues, but you know, Jamie Newman looked completely lost in that game. 6 of 14, 41 yards, 2 interceptions. If you're looking from a Clemson point of view, this is exactly what you needed to do to show the playoff committee that you are every bit the top 3 team that they think you are.
Yeah. Wake Forest was a team that was ranked in the top 20 a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, they're not currently ranked. They weren't ranked when they lost this game, but there is a point there. And Clemson keeps making the point. And we'll see what happens with the updated CFP top 25.
Yeah, to kind of put it into perspective, the kind of issues that the Deeks had on that game. The last time the Deeks had that low of a total yard output was 2014, the year they rushed for 479 yards as a team for the entire season. They had one game against the opening the season against Louisiana Monroe, where they had 94 total yards, and then another game in a loss to Louisville where they had 100 total yards. So this is that's what kind of territory Wake Forest is in with that effort.
Next game, Virginia Tech over Georgia Tech, 45-0. Again, I expected a little more out of Georgia Tech and a little less out of Virginia Tech. But as we were talking about in the last episode, I keep thinking that the Hokies are turning the corner. It's hard to say that when the team they played was Georgia Tech. But yeah. Man, they look good in a lot of ways.
This looked like the Virginia Tech teams of old, with the way they played yesterday, shutting out Georgia Tech, holding them to 134 total yards, and getting strong efforts from the running game. And it wasn't just one person; it was several people. Yeah, Deshaun McLeese carried the ball 11 times. Trey Turner had a 39-yard run. Tavion Robinson had a 49-yard run. Quincy Patterson had 40 yards and a touchdown. Caleb Stewart had 40 yards rushing. They were just and Keyshawn King had over 4 yards of carry. So they were going to many different people and were getting, consistently good yardage on the ground. They only threw the ball 16 times in the game, and with the way the game was going, you didn't need to throw the ball much. And the Hokies are looking like, you could make the argument, throwing out our personal rankings, not counting Notre Dame, you could make an argument that Virginia Tech is the second best team in the league right now. Just based on the last 2 weeks.
I think it would be a valid argument. And we'll see where those rankings, the ACC Nation Power Poll, where that comes up this week. I have not done mine yet. I know that I have not looked at everybody else's either, so I have no clue as to where it's all going to mesh. But there's typically a little bit of a surprise every week to some degree, at least in my head. But it's always fun to see what collectively everybody comes up with. And I can't really argue that much with where the power poll comes out each time. It usually hits it pretty much on the head. Speaking of important games, this Virginia Tech-Virginia matchup that we talked about at the opening of the program, the Commonwealth Cup, comes up at the end of the month. And we're going to have a very special Thanksgiving week of podcasts. We have special guest Andy Bitter from The Athletic talking about the Hokies. And Jerry Radcliffe of jerryradcliffe.com to discuss the Cavaliers. Both of them are coming in and individually going to be talking about their team and what to expect and what they're looking for from the other team. Also, Thanksgiving week, so we're going to be joined by Aaron Fitt of d1baseball.com, and we're going to get a preview of ACC baseball, which I think you're going to find intriguing. Aaron's got some really interesting thoughts on what the season looks like. I think you're going to be excited about this if you're an ACC baseball fan. Where has this team been? Syracuse 49, Duke 6. First win of the season.
Yeah, weird. We've been talking about how there was a chance Syracuse could roll through the league and not win a game. And then all of a sudden, Syracuse, at least for part of it, for certain instances, looked like the team people thought they would be all season. They ran for 286 yards in this game, averaging over 6.5 yards per carry, but that's all they really needed to. Tommy DeVito didn't throw the ball well, 6 of 15, did throw 2 touchdowns, but it was all about the ground game. Jarvion Howard over 100 yards rushing. Mo Neal over 100 yards rushing. They combined for 230 yards rushing between the two of them by themselves. That's just on 26 carries. So they were just consistently getting chunk yardage throughout the game. Quentin Harris struggled again for Duke, 19 of 36, 157 yards. Got a tweet that you'll see on my Twitter feed, just how Quentin Harris has fared outside of the month of September. So the month of September, they played 3 games, looked like an all-ACC caliber player. The rest of the every other game, including the Alabama game, he has not looked anything like that. So I would definitely check out my Twitter feed for that stat. Again, Syracuse not out of both these teams are now 4-6 overall. Both teams are still technically eligible for a bowl, but need to win out.
Make sure that you check out Will's Twitter line at Will's World MN. Will's World, yes. MN Twitter.
I'm getting ever so much closer to 1,000 followers. I'm less than 20 away, so let's do it.
I was just getting ready to suggest that people make sure they check that out and follow you while they're there so that you can hit 1,000 and roll on over to the other side. Come over to the dark side.
Yes.
Let's take a look at this next game, which is the last game on our list, which is Louisville and NC State. Started out a little slow, a little disconcerting. 34-20 the final. Louisville winning that game.
It was all about the third quarter. Louisville outscored NC State 20-0 in the third quarter. So if Jeff Buzdelic were here, he would say if it wasn't for the third quarter, they would, you know, NC State would have won the game. Really, that's all that made the difference. I mean, Mikhail Cunningham threw for 200, had four touchdown passes, 242 yards. Didn't run the ball very well. They only averaged 2 yards per carry, but Javian Hawkins got 67 yards rushing in this game. He was the first Louisville running back to eclipse 1,000 yards since Bilal Powell in 2010. Hawkins is a freshman and having an outstanding season for the Cardinals, and they are now bowl eligible. NC State, 4-6. Again, still they have to win out to be bowl eligible, but you're not seeing anything out of this offense that leads you to believe that they're going to be a threat to a bowl game. Devin Leary was okay in this game. He threw for 243 yards, two touchdowns, but did throw a pick. Bam Knight been kind of the saving grace for this team because he's been pretty good on the ground. Especially with Ricky Pearson out for the season, Knight's been kind of the guy in shining armor for this NC State offense.
Last game actually was Notre Dame with a win, and I'm not too surprising here. I figured that there was going to be a strong comeback and a strong showing, and indeed there was.
I believe I picked a Navy in this game, so I clearly do not know what I'm talking about.
Just for that one game, dude.
Well, I mean, there were reasons to think Navy had a shot to win that game, even sure, at Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's offense hasn't been great the last few weeks. Navy always gives Notre Dame fits, but in this game, they just couldn't get a whole lot going. At least in terms of they ran okay, but it was Ian Book who had an awesome game. Five touchdown passes, 284 yards passing, just a great game all around. They had Chase Claypool go for over 100 yards. Notre Dame, continues to kind of roll on. They'll be probably ranked in the top 15 back again after this win. Notre Dame has a couple of easier games, I think, they'll finish out. I mean, they close out with Boston College next week, and then we'll go to Stanford. So we're looking at a 10-2 Irish team, probably.
Those should both be wins. And I thought that, or my thoughts in general about Ian Book is that he has he's found something of himself. It's a shame that it occurred later in the season for the Irish, but sometimes that's just the way it is. Sometimes it could be the people who are around him, too, have also matured and become better players. Navy felt flat in everything. They just felt flat to me. I understood why you picked Navy over Notre Dame. I could see the potential there. But, man, they just didn't play the way that I would have assumed should have, or the way that I've seen them play a little bit this season. It just felt meh,
Yeah, I get it.
Be sure to subscribe to ACC Nation Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Blueberry, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Deezer, and Pandora. Listen to ACC Nation Radio 24/7. It's an easy click away at accnation.net on our homepage. Check out the radio tab or hit up the links page. Connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at ACC Nation. For a shout out, simply drop us a line at podcast@accnation.net. That's podcast@accnation.net. Until next time, cheers.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.